From JMO Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Yeah, what do we make of those jobs numbers?
Yeah, actually, before that, I was just going to very, very quickly comment. You're talking about the retirement savings. Mm. As you know, my son went through college. He went through business school in the US. They absolutely drilled into them the importance of saving a minimum of 10% of your take-home pay.
Exactly.
Outside of any other assistance you might get. But anyway, this jobs number overnight. Yeah, big day coming up for the US, isn't it? July 4th, big holiday for them. But overnight, big economic news was the release of non-farm payrolls, the big monthly read on the jobs market. Now, I think you're right. Expectations leading in were that the US economy had added 106 to 110,000 jobs. That got knocked out the park. They actually added 147,000 jobs, and the prior number was revised slightly higher as well. And forecast unemployment rate leading in, they thought it'd be 4.3%, came in at 4.1%. So these are what we would call significant beats. But I think you had a comment earlier on. What was interesting was at the detail, because the private sector employment was weak. I think they only added, I think it was about 74,000 jobs in the private sector. So the bulk of that beat came from public sector hiring, which was very robust, and you saw a surge in public education employment. Now, just looking at wages, average hourly earnings, they were sort of quite benign, 3.7% year on year. That's the lowest they've seen since July 2024. So the thing is, Mike, on this one, irrespective of the breakdown, the fact that, well, private sector was weak, public sector was strong, the headline number probably reduces the chance of a rate cut by the Federal Reserve in July. And these numbers do move the market. I mean, the US share market has reacted positively to this. NASDAQ's up over 1%, not far away from that for the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 as well. The bond market was less enthusiastic, seeing a tick higher in US Treasury interest rates, up 7 points on the 10-year rate there. But that market's been pretty well behaved recently, so I don't think that's a significant move. I will say one thing here, Mike. I'm a little bit nervous about this recent price action we've seen in major US share market indices. They're sort of priced for perfection now.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just seems to me that there are still a number of, you know, unresolved issues and plenty of uncertainty out there at the moment. But hey, you can't stand in front of something that's going as strong as that, can you?
Still only one nay. How does this affect us, you reckon?
Well, yeah, this one big, beautiful bill. There's another comment I want to make about this, Mike, because it squeaked its way through the Senate, didn't it? Only by the grace of a casting vote from Vice President J.D. Vance. But look, our job, Mike, as investment people, is to sort of look ahead and think about the impacts of major developments like this. In this case, Mike, it's been really challenging because there's so much debate and varied opinion around the actual impact of the changes proposed in the bill. And so much of the analysis is coloured by where it's coming from. So if you look at the White House Council of Economic Advisers, clearly that's coming from, you know, from the administration, very different view of the impact from that of, say, the Congressional Budget Office. And they are poles apart, Mike, absolutely poles apart. The White House is saying that in 2028, you'd get almost a 5% lift in US GDP from the impact of the big, beautiful bill. That is just streets ahead what everyone else is saying. How many people are going to lose access to Medicaid? Well, that very much depends on who you believe. Equally, the impact on the US federal deficit is subject to very different forecasts. My view, Mike, is this adds to the US fiscal deficit, but that will be mitigated by a lift in growth, and we will only know that as that growth unfolds. What I can also say, we've got to look at the counterfactual here, Mike. If they don't extend the tax cuts that are due to expire, that would be a huge hit to growth. So I think that's important. Hey, look, this stuff all does impact on us, Mike. It moves the currencies around. It moves the bond markets around. It's important that we sort of keep on top of this stuff.
I'm almost out of time, but at 4.5, I mean, I'd buy a bit of debt for that, wouldn't you? Clearly everyone else is.
We had a big bond tender yesterday, Mike. Still massive amounts of demand for this $31 billion bid for $6 billion worth of bonds. Wow. So we are funding at the moment. This is May 31. Bonds issued at 4.0875. Successful tender friends at DMO. I think they'll be happy.
Numbers, please.
44,820 out on the Dow Jones. It's up 344 points, 0.75%. S&P 500 up 0.8%, 6279. And the NASDAQ up over 1%, 208 points, 20,601. Overnight, the FTSE 100 withstood the storm of the flutter in the bond market, up 50 points, 8823. The Nikkei barely moved up 23 points. The Shanghai Composite up 6. The ASX 200 lost 2 yesterday, and the NZX 50 lost 80 points, 0.62%, 12,704. Kiwi dollar, 0.6065 against the US, 0.9230 against the Aussie, 0.5160 euro, 0.4445 against the pound, 87.99 Japanese yen. Gold is trading at $3,329 and Brent crude, $68.75.
Great work. You have a good weekend. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.